Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Brad and Body Podcast. Body, we're here for another season. We're ready to go. We're talking boomers. How are you, my friend?
I'm good and I'm excited. I would be more excited, obviously, if we had Jock Landau playing in the team, because I definitely thought we were gold medal candidates with him.
Yep.
A little bit less so without him, but I think we're still very much in the mix. And you know how these tournaments are, Brad. You've seen enough of them, you've played in enough of them to know that those first couple of games really sort of sets you up for how you want to go.
Well, let's dive into it. Of course, the World Cup, it's in Japan, Philippines, and the Indonesia. And very excited. And obviously, it kicks off with Australia taking on Finland. Finland ranked 24th in the world. So, you know, you could argue that, you know, I think we're fourth or fifth, that we should be winning that quite easily. But I want to go back a little bit. I know you were in Melbourne, Body. You watched these boomers play. Talk to me. What was it feeling down there?
Look, initially I thought it looked pretty good. The first game, they looked quite good. And then the second game, when they were put under a bit of pressure, it kind of fell apart against Brazil. And then again, against South Sudan, it started to come together. I was a bit concerned with Paddy Mills' shooting form. Because, you know, he's instrumental in this team, in how far this team can go at the World Cup. He remains still that very important player in it. So when they beat France, I was a little more assured about it. I mean, I know France wouldn't have shown anything, and Brian Gorgian's coach of the Boomers wouldn't have shown everything either, you know, because there's potential for them to meet in this World Cup. So I don't know how much we can draw into the result, but I just like the way they played. I really like what some of those guys bring. Matisse Thybulle, I mean, I'm a huge fan of his. How about yourself? And Dante Exum too. I'm a big fan of his as well.
Yeah, look, I was happy all around. I'm going to correct myself there. I might have said fourth or fifth for Australia, but that would be third, obviously, that they're in the world. Look, if Landale was going, I actually had Jack White out of the team, and everything else, like, you know, I mean, I know Dele was around and things like that, but for me, I thought the 13 picked themselves, and then it was just a matter of, right, who's the 12. The reason I believe in Golding and I'm going to go back on what you just said, those prelim games. There was a game at the Olympics, I can't remember which one, and he comes out and hits 5, 6, 7 threes, whatever it was. You need those type of players in those prelim games, right? You can't rely on Paddy and Matisse and all these guys to be doing it, you know, back to back 2 days, you know, in between games, or one day in between games and playing every 2 days. For me, you just need those guys to come on. I think we're a very good three-point shooter team. I think we're better with Chris in the team. So I was always for him being in there. You, what did you
think? My 12 was pretty much the same group, except that obviously I had Landau in, and I didn't have Chris Gording in mind. He was the toughest one, but I just felt at his age, and how much do we need a one-dimensional scorer? You know, I mean, it's like, he's not going to give you anything at the defensive end. And he's a bit of a streaky shooter. If he comes on and hits his first one, he's going to hit his next seven. It's fantastic. But, you know, if he bricks his first one, it hits the confidence. And when you're there to do that one job, as I cast my mind back to London Olympics, where Peter Crawford was selected for pretty much the same reason.
Yeah.
To be able to come off the bench and hit the big threes here, there, and everywhere. And I don't think he ever left the bench. So I sort of think, are we at that point where we can move beyond a Chris Gording? Now that the team is what it is, I'm happy to see him there. Like I was with you. That 13 was the right 13 in my mind, and whoever missed out was going to be unlucky. So I'm not unhappy to see him there.
My biggest thing that I love about this team, and with the Gorge being the coach, is this team is a defensive hound. They are so athletic. They can switch so many things. You know, you go even Dyson Daniels, who I don't think will play a lot, but look at his length. You got Cooks, you got Exum, you've got Green, you've got, you know, Reith, Matisse. Yep. My favorite. I'm with you. Just the way that they can defensively shut teams down, and then you go to your Ingles and your Paddies to try and do that. So I love what Gorge has got there. I do worry that if they struggle with big ball, but let's be honest, like, You know, at the Olympics, they had Kay in the five there sometimes as well with Landale. I know he's not there now.
Yep.
And they can play small ball. I just don't know if they can do it for the 2 weeks, like you're saying. So,
well, the thing is, Duop Reece is a much more vastly improved player to the guy who was at the Tokyo Olympics. So I expect he's going to have a good tournament. And we haven't even mentioned the guy that it sort of really starts to revolve around now, and that's Josh Giddey.
Mm.
And how he goes, I think, is going to be very influential. But I hear what you're saying. If we come up against a bunch of big bodies, we might be in a bit of strife. But again, cast back to Tokyo Olympics. We lost Aaron Baines during those Olympics. He was not a huge factor, and he was our biggest big man, and they did pretty well without him. So this, at least this time, they've had a chance, a little bit of an opportunity to work out how to play without Jock, which, I mean, obviously in Tokyo, they never had that opportunity. Once Baines went out, it was like, oh, okay, here we go. We're recasting how we move the players around, et cetera. Whereas here, at least they've had a little bit of an opportunity to say, okay, Jock's not with us. That's a blow, but let's move forward. You know, next man up mentality.
So
I'm not that worried about that.
No, I agree. I'm gonna ask you this now. Just for people listening, by the way, Josh Green's fine. Ankle should be fine. He's ready to go. Golding's obviously been playing. I'm going to ask you, and let's just go, you know, very briefly, Finland, Germany, Japan. Where do it, really, to me, it's ours to lose. They should be three games. We should comfortably win. But it's not as easy as that. We know that at World Championship. Talk to me about those three games.
Well, I'm not sure about comfortably. I'd like to think that if we're playing our best ball, that we would comfortably beat those teams, yes. But I don't think at the start of the tournament you're generally playing your best ball. You're hopefully playing your best ball at the end of the tournament as you build. Now, I don't know about Finland. I mean, I've got to admit my ignorance here. Probably the only Finnish sportsman I can even think of is Lassi Virran. I don't know when he was winning, you know, some sort of race in the Olympics back in the 70s, I think. So I don't know about Finland being a huge threat to us. I mean, obviously, that's the 12 best players that Finland can put on the floor. So they'll be, you know, have pride in their uniform. They'll give us a bit of a touch-up. But I expect that we should win. You know, when you look at their rankings, we should win. Germany is probably the toughest game in the group.
Yeah.
And Japan, again, Japan, we should win. We've played them sufficiently in Asia Cups and in, you know, FIBA windows to know their game pretty intimately. We should be able to get through the group. Germany's the big one. We get through the group and we top. Therefore, we would avoid Slovenia in the next round.
Correct.
Probably get them as well.
Yeah, let me talk about that. Firstly, with Germany, just so you know, Dennis Schroeder, Daniel Theis. Now, Schroeder from, well, I think he's still at the Lakers, but they get traded every 2 minutes in that place. You never know. Yeah. And Daniel Theis, I mean, you know, from Boston, two very good players. So let's just not think Germany's going to fall over here. So I agree with you on that one. That's the big one for me on Sunday when they play them. But going over, we're Group E. And then if you go over to Group F, you said Slovenia, Cape Verde, Georgia, and Venezuela. Now, Slovenia obviously should come out of that very easily. There should be no doubt about that. That's why we want to go one in our pool, because you don't want to cross over to two, is what you're saying. Too early in the in the thing to be playing then. Remembering that's who we beat, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it? Semi in the for the Bronx. So you'd think that would be Venezuela if we cross over, and that's what they would be targeting.
Yeah. Well, if that's the case, then I think we're through to the quarterfinals. And then it starts to get interesting as to, you know, then it's how's your form traveling, how you're looking, how you're feeling about yourselves. And you know, I think that we should be able to get through to the semifinals. And once you're there, well, wow. You know, if you're in the semifinals, you're just a game away from a gold medal game, where the worst you can come away with is silver or the bronze medal game. So honestly, I still like the way we look. I think we're very much in the mix. USA, Canada, France, there's some tough teams. Spain, there's some tough teams ahead. But, you know, this is a golden opportunity, for want of a better way of putting it.
They always have the group of death. I'm going to say Group H is my group of death. Canada, Latvia, Lebanon and France. That's all I can think of is the group of death. That's the toughest one.
Well, I don't know about death. Maybe a very severe migraine, but I don't
Maybe
know.
Maybe it's a bit of severe COVID or long COVID, yeah. Hadamie, whichever it is.
Yeah. Well, let me say, if that's the group of death, then Group F, Cape Verde, Georgia, Venezuela and Slovenia with a dream run. That is the group of birth because they're just being given an easy berth through to the next round, the Slovenians, because that a very, very easy group. There's some groups that are harder than others, you know.
Yeah, I had to bring up Group of Death because I know how much you love when that's pronounced and you, I know just, God. It just is something that you're like, I love hearing that.
Yeah. I think we're in the group of halitosis. Yeah, that's
it. It sounds like one of our podcasts, The Group of Hell. Hey, listen, I want to talk about our roster though more so. I know we're talking, yep. You know, we've spoken about them, but I'd like to, you know, Xavier Cooks. I'm going to bring him up. Coming off an MVP season, an interesting one when you talk World Cup team because you know we know he's not that outside splash bang. He's not going to be that guy. Yeah. So he's going to be an inside man that will give you energy, but he's coming up against a lot bigger players. How do you see him transferring into that national?
Look, it just depends on how important his role is in the group, in the rotation. Okay, like if he's early in the rotation, then he's going to have to be super efficient. But you mentioned it earlier; it's a gorging team, and as we saw with their warm-up games, their defence got better and better, and their adjustment to not having Landau with double teams in the low post where appropriate, and just the amount of swarming they were doing as a group, and understanding who you're supposed to go to next after you've swarmed. I think they've got that down. So I think defensively, we won't be as exposed as potentially, you know, trying to go inside against some of the other big men around. We might have our difficulties there, but then again, you know, that we're athletic, we're wiry, we can get around people, and then you've got reliable guys like Nick Cahey who can also sneak out to the 3-point line.
How good is he? You look along this team and there's, you know, like probably $500 million worth of money there. I don't know, whatever it's going to be, probably double that when Josh Giddey signs his next one. But you just look at that and you just think, there's Nick Cahey, not in the NBA, but just every team needs a Nick Kay.
Yep.
Love him. There's a couple of been, I don't want to say negatives because I don't like that word, but there's been a couple of, here's the things that could hurt, right? Is the keys to the car being given to Josh Giddey too early?
No, he's absolutely ready.
I agree. Completely. I just heard someone the other day, I was like, what? Is Patty Mills' form going in a worry?
I think it is a little bit, and there's two reasons I think that. One is he didn't play a hell of a lot in the last NBA season, okay? So the role he plays with the Boomers has never been the role he's played in the NBA. He's come off the bench in the NBA, and with Brooklyn, unfortunately for him, this season pass, he's got deeper and deeper into the bench, and there have been a number of games where he didn't actually step foot on the court after the warm-up. So...
Which is unbelievable, mind you. Cannot believe that, but anyway, yep.
Yeah, because you see him in the green and gold. We see him in the green and gold, and we go, do you realise what you have here? Because you're not exposing him enough at that NBA level. But that's part one. That I think he's lacked a bit of the match practice. The other thing is he's become very much the face and the custodian of the Boomers culture.
Yes.
Okay. And I think sometimes you can get a bit caught up in those extra things where you're trying to teach a Josh Green or a Matisse Thybulle or Duop Reis what it means to be an Aussie, you know, and you're playing the Midnight Oil and the Aussie bands and the music, and ahead of Rio, they went to Uluru. They've got the whole thing about boomers, understanding that a boomer is a male kangaroo that cannot go backwards. It can only go forwards. You got all these culture things, and I think he feels now, if he didn't before, he certainly does now, feel that he's in charge of that as captain. And I think sometimes you can just get distracted by that instead of like, hang on a second, you're a great basketball player. Go and play great basketball. Don't get sidetracked into the other stuff. Let the other guys understand that they're part of something, but now get on with focusing on your own game, because a lot of
That is a great point. Now, you're talking when I was captain of the Sydney Kings, and don't even put me in the same stratosphere as the Paddy Mills, but when I was in captain of the Sydney Kings, I did feel that pressure to perform, right? And I felt like I had to, you know, talk to the media and do all those things.
Yep.
And I worried that now that I look back, you know, I was a 28-year-old or whatever I was. Man, if I knew what I knew now. So I think it's a really good point that you make, because sometimes that can just put added pressure, which is interesting because I've heard that he is now co-captain with Joe Ingles.
Right. So, and Joe's is very much the same. He's into that whole thing.
Yeah.
Getting you to understand what it means to play for Australia.
And mind you, it's just the C next to your name. Paddy Mills doesn't need that to be the leader. I get it. But it was just, I think it's going to be really interesting.
Quickly before we get off that.
Yeah.
You know yourself, you've seen enough and you've coached enough to know that when Paddy's shots are hitting the front of the ring on a consistent basis, that technically, well, he's just not getting enough lift from his legs. He's not getting enough power from that. I mean, it's just a little adjustment that I'm waiting for an assistant coach to say, Paddy, your shooting action is a thing of beauty, but it's dropping short and that comes from the legs. Just make the little adjustments to let him move on, hit a couple of shots and get his focus into leading the team on the floor.
Can I say, I have no worries with Paddy. He will bring it. That's my opinion. I know, and you are right to say you'd be worried, and everyone should be worried in the sense of the way he shot, but not Paddy. Nah, Superman will arrive in Japan. I have no doubt about it.
And then, look, okay, the keys of the castle have been given to Josh Giddey.
Josh, good
on him. He can do it. Dante Exum comes in. He brings I love him. I got to tell you, I love a lot of these guys because of the way they represent us. And I mean, that gets back a bit to the culture, so you've got to take your hat off to the co-captains for that. You know, just the whole thing, the whole mood of the group is one of, I am quite happy to get skin knees. I am diving on that loose thing. I don't care if I'm bleeding, you know, and I love that about them. You know, they were, I'm not saying we haven't had that in the past, but we sort of haven't had the sort of buy-in that you see from this group for Gorge and what he's doing, and the fact that Gorge also is quite, what shall we say, ego-free in terms of he's quite happy to hand over to an assistant and say, okay, you're the expert in last second plays, and not sort of go, oh, wait a minute, it's got to be my voice or no one else's. Now, I just like that whole buy-in from the whole group.
Oh, it's everything. I mean, look at his assistants, Matty Nilsson, Adam Capone, Dave Patrick. He's got some serious talent there. So I love it. Last one for you on the roster. Josh Green sat there really through the Olympics and watched, impressed massively in Dallas. No question what he's done. I see him being real big minutes, bar injury, obviously, at the Worlds. Your thoughts?
Yeah, healthy. I really like him because I did watch him with the Mavericks and I did enjoy everything that he was bringing. You know, now in hindsight, when I look at that group of 12 as it is, had Landale been available, probably Dyson Daniels is the one that looks the most raw. The fact that he's there, he's going to have that Josh Green role that Green had at Tokyo. He's going to basically be sitting and taking it all in because Josh Green has got to be playing. That man can play basketball and what he can bring. I don't think enough people have seen what he can bring. And when they do, they'll go, okay, we'll fall in love with him as we did.
So you don't think Dyson will play a lot?
I don't think he should at this stage. I think he looked a little nervous, a little keen to do well. And, you know, as you'd understand. So I think he's the man that is probably 11 or 12.
And I love, that's just another tick of what this Boomers is about. Nah, mate, you're right. We've got the Olympics next year. Don't worry. It's okay. You know, I love that. I just love it.
Yep, exactly. And I think that's where you sort of really get to respect the group because you see the buy-in. He's like, okay, if that's going to be my role, that'll be my role. I'm not going to, you know, sit here sucking on my bottom lip or anything. If I get an opportunity, I'll say Nathan Sobey in Tokyo. If I get an opportunity, I'm going to go out there and absolutely try and rip it up in the time I have.
Yeah. Okay, so let me go now. What are you expecting? Are you expecting medal or bust, in your opinion?
Oh, look, I'm expecting a medal. I think they should go with that expectation. I think that I've bought into what Andrew Bogut said a long time ago. You know, if you don't go aiming for the penthouse, you might end up in the outhouse. So
well, he actually said shithouse, but okay, you can say outhouse.
You know, I don't have those sort of words in my vocabulary. Anyway, yes, exactly.
That's not what happens off air, people.
Anyway, I just think they should be going absolutely for gold, and that would be unbelievable if they could pull that off without Jock Landau. But I think, I think really toward the end of the tournament, I'm hoping they're on the medal podium. I see them on the medal podium, but so much can influence that. So many things, and you've got to remember.
Who's the ones you're worried about?
France worries me. Canada worries me.
USA is still a USA.
It's not a super duper team. You know, it's a beatable team, but it's also
they've got some talent. You know, they've got some serious talent there. Then you know, Jalen Brunson, he's a bucket getter. You know, Mikhail Bridges, Anthony Edwards. You know, they got Jaren Jackson, Brandon Ingram. You know, there's some serious players there. Austin Reeves, who had a great year with the Lakers. So no, they'll be tough. I have no doubt about that.
Yes, because this one looks more like a team.
Yeah, I agree.
We've got this roster of sensational names. This one looks like it's going to be one that works together. And because of the level of talent, they're absolutely in the mix. But you know, can't forget Slovenia, because they've got a pretty easy ride, let's be honest.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
So even if, assuming they win their group, which they will, they'll play the second place group from the one that we're in, which would probably be Germany.
Well, hopefully it's not us. It'll be Germany, hopefully.
Yeah, and in which case they'll continue to advance comfortably. Mm. So, you know, I don't think they get it too hard till maybe semi-finals or maybe quarterfinals, but they're one to keep an eye on, just a little over the back, like who might be sneaking up. It could be Slovenia, as they did in Tokyo.
Well, you know, you've got Spain, which, you know, like you said, there's just so many different ones. But, yeah, I think when I look at it, always you're going to put the US there. But for me, it's just Canada and France. You just they're the two. I don't know why. They're just in my back of my mind there to worry. And I would put France above Canada for that.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. But, very, very good tournament coming up. Very, very good tournament. What do you reckon? Are we going to be on the podium?
I think it's going to be, how do I say this? After the first one or two games, I'll have a much better idea. That's how I feel, because I didn't look at a team that was going to win gold in Melbourne, right? I saw glimpses and I thought, look at the way they lock down defensively. So I could see that. And I thought, yep. Okay. Then when Landau went down, I'm with you and I'm thinking, okay, you can lose him for a game or two. Can you lose him for a tournament, right? And that's my worry. The other way is they play small ball and they're in the gold medal game. But they are going to have to play and shoot so well for that to happen, because it's tough to play small ball, man. You're not going to get, you know, like they've got to get
open. There's no respite, is it?
There's no respite. You watch Patty Mills, the way he runs off screens and everything. They need layup after layup, and transition is going to be a key for them, which obviously comes back off good defense will get you out in offensive transitions. So if they can do that, yes, I think they could play off for a gold medal. If they have to go against the muscle every single time, I don't know if they'll get a medal. I think they will struggle.
Yeah. Well, no, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to anyway, and that is I really wish that Jonah Bolden back 4 years ago ahead of that World Cup hadn't basically pulled out and turned his back on this program, because if he hadn't, I think we could probably then better cover the absence of Jock Landau. But be it, that's the way it is. I mean, someone will mention Ben Simmons somewhere along the way as well. You know, I don't see Simmons as being as important as Landau in this group.
Yeah, 100%. You don't need another, you know, ball dominant guy. Not that he's a ball dominant, you know, he needs his hand and he needs the ball in his hand to be able to be effective. And you don't need that in that team right now. Body, we're going to stop there. That is obviously our wrap about the Boomers. I just wanted to let everyone know that we're going to continue on with our podcast now. We're going to be updating all on Boomers. And of course, the NBL starts very soon. We'll be going through in the WNBL, some very exciting times coming up. So, Body, it's great to be back, my man.
Yes, it is. It feels good. It feels good to be talking basketball again. So, let's get this World Cup over and done, because if the Boomers can do anything like capture the imagination in the way the Matildas did, even just a small percentage of that would be wonderful for our sport.
Wasn't that fantastic? Well, when we win gold, Body, I'm getting on a plane, I'm flying to Adelaide, and we are going to Burger Boss.
Yep. We'll celebrate a Burger Boss. They're doing champagne now there too, so we can drink our fill.
Go those Boomers, everyone. Yeah. Have a fantastic week. Look out for the next podcast and we'll update all the games. Have a great week, Body.
See ya. So, Brad, really now, where do you think we're going to finish? As well as the Matildas?
I think we're going to do better than the Matildas. I think we're going to, I think we're going to play off for a gold medal. Don't know why, I just have that feeling. This team is young, enthusiastic, and hungry as hell.
Okay, no more rose gold.